Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning, September 1st. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning. Here's Jace. All right, our sponsors, Allied Industrial Sales, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, down on the island this morning in Galveston, it's 78 degrees and raining. A little bit of rain is starting to pass through, but more of the same. Today, thunderstorms likely in the morning, then a chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon with a high of 86. East-northeast winds 10 to 20. That rain chance today is 80%. And tonight, pretty much about a 70% chance with east-northeast winds at 10 to 20. And for tomorrow, thunderstorms likely again. East-northeast 15 to 25 with a little better, less chance of rain of about 60% tomorrow. So things are looking a little better, but a lot of moisture in the Gulf still, so we'll just have to deal with it. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have 4 of them. We have a high coming up at 6:03 a.m. It's a 1.5. Then a low at 10:46 a.m., a 1.4. And a high at 2:23 p.m., a 1.5. And a low at 10:24 p.m., an 0.2. 6:57 a.m. at sunrise, 7:41 p.m. at sunset, and we're almost to our new moon of the month. We're at 5% moon phase. Current conditions right now, not a lot of wind to speak of. North Jetty, it looks like it's southeast at about 6. San Luis Pass looks like a kind of a north-northeast wind at 9, and then the old rollover site is showing a north wind at 10, and up in the upper reaches the complex, it's east at 5 at Eagle Point, and then up at Morgan's Point, it's northeast at 8. So winds are kind of different directions. They're variable with the with these little storms rolling through. Been dealing with that a few days, too, so no big deal. All right, well, let's go over to the Tri-Bay area and get started off this morning with a hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what he's up to. Good morning, Glenn. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. How's everything on your end over there, buddy?
It's all good, man. It's Sunday.
We got a...
And it's dove season today.
Dove season and
the big opener.
Get your new licenses. Everybody's got to reload on the licenses.
You need a license?
For everything these days. Except for driving, I believe. I don't think these people out here have ever had a driver's test.
Yeah, I guess not. Man, you don't need a driver's license. Don't need the ID. Go for it.
Well, they were quite busy down here yesterday. The DPS and the marshals and sheriffs, and I watched them handcuff some people and all that.
Anyway,
well, it's at Zero Tolerance Weekend, and they don't put up with it. Just, driving buzzed, driving illegal. So you know, they're out and checking them, just warning you before you come down here and start misbehaving yourself. And better have your ducks in a row, because they just don't want a little bitty community to get way out of hand. So they try to do what they can. But let's see, on Friday morning, you know, the other day we noticed a chip, and it was after I mowed and weed eated, and I'm scared that I might have did it with a mower or the weed eater, but on my truck, on my windshield, right there by the driver's side, I had a little chip. So I finally took it to one of those places that does that.
On the windshield?
Yes, sir.
Safe light repair. Right.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to mention any names until I see how
that's
it works
out.
That's
where I go. I get a little one. I just whip in there and they take care of it. And if not, if it's too big, they'll put a new one in there and the insurance pay for it.
Yeah. But when I went ahead, you know, it was just the only little ping I had on the whole windshield, and it wasn't big as a dime. So anyway, they did their little dress up on it, and it already looks, you can't even hardly see it. I mean, it really made a lot of difference.
Keep it from spider webbing on you.
Right. That's exactly right, buddy, because it's right. It's going to be right in the field of view. And my old Ford, my 2008 that sits out there, man, that front windshield, I got to go get it inspected. Matter of fact, I got to figure out what's wrong with the horn. The horn quit working on it. You know how these old vehicles are. Everything's so rusted up down here. And anyway, it's one thing after another, but I've got to take it in, get it inspected. Seems like it all comes on at once. You know, everything expires or something right there. But anyway, we'll get through it. Our tourists finally started showing up yesterday, and so it got quite crowded down here. You know, like I said, I seen some siren. I seen some police officers pulling some people over, but it was just like they come down here and it's a 40-mile-an-hour zone. Well, I don't believe 40 miles an hour is in anybody's vocabulary this day and time. There's no way. We'll take a ride going out.
What's the speed limit nowadays?
Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry, and you can't drive slow. That's just not allowed no more.
Hurry up and wait. Oh, if you're driving the speed limit, they'll pull up next to you and pop the rod at you.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Say it as good as I can. I mean, seriously.
Whatever happened to the old time, having respect for the next driver on the road? And look, if you're going to drive slow, just get over in your right-hand lane, my dad would say. Just get over there and let them go around.
Get in the slow lane, and they still get mad at you. It don't matter anymore. Hey, what is normal? Just, you know, do your thing.
I had one little fishing report yesterday from a guide buddy of mine, and he called in, and they started off pretty slow, but ended up with, I think he said they had 12 trout and 3 reds, but they worked for him a little bit. He said they got a couple early in the mornings, and it just tapered off for a while, and then all of a sudden around 10:30 or so, the fish went off again, and they put some decent fish in the box.
Caught them on that tide swing between the high and the low. Probably right.
Well, it's
high was peaking and the low was fixed to start going out. That's a pretty good minor feeding period when that happens.
Well, it's the north wind that was pulling, because that little thing, it was weird. If you looked, it had some circulation in it to it. Thank goodness.
It was sitting already right on top of the pass yesterday morning when James and I were talking. I was looking at the wind currents. And it looked like the eye of the low pressure was right there on top of San Luis Pass.
And that put us on that backside, and we had
north wind
about 15 to 18 miles an hour, nice and cool all day yesterday. Mm. I mean, it was really, really nice to sit out in the shade and feel that north wind blowing. I mean, it wasn't a norther, but it was just the way that little thing approached.
Yeah, it was just coming off at low. Yeah.
It was spinning, and my wife and I were going, those clouds are going backwards. They're headed out to the Gulf. You know, on our side of the that little eye wall or whatever it was. It's funny how things can happen, you know, those things can pop up like that. But however, turned out to be a pretty dang nice day. And today we're going to head out. I'm going out to Sweeney. I'm going to meet Doug and his wife, Nancy. Melinda and I are out there and see if we just to pick around, kick around for a day and check on everything and see what we can do. If it's dry enough out there, we supposedly Sweeney hadn't got very much rain out of this whole deal. You know, after I talked to you the other day, I told you we, since Monday to Friday, we had 2.5 inches in the rain gauge. Well, from Friday morning, I left, went to town or went into Pearland, came back. And we had been smoked here. And I looked at the rain gauge, and it was in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, I looked at it, and it was overpull. So it was over 6 inches in it.
Good.
And it only had 2.5 inches in it. So I know we got another 3.5 after I talked to you Friday morning.
Yeah.
So, man, we're wet. We're
just
soaked.
Just depending where
there.
You're at with these storms, the way they're coming in off the Gulf. Just depends on if you're in line with them or not.
Well, we're going to do all of that, head on to Sweeney, get all of our licenses and all that in order this week. Tuesday is our 41st anniversary, Melinda and I, and we're going to head to Tinney Hall up in East Texas. That's where her parents are buried, and we're going to go pay them a little visit and do a little trip up to East Texas just for the day, just go up there and back. And we got her mother before she passed away. Well, when she passed away, we inherited her little Papillon dog, and she was like 17 at the time, and she ended up making it to 20 years old, and
man,
we put her down
time.
Recently. Yeah, we did. And so we're going to take some of her ashes, the little puppy's ashes, and share them with the her parents up there at Tinney Hall. And reunite the little dog with her mom, and anyway, just been do something different, go for a ride, like, you know, that's what I need to be doing. Let's see, Captain Mickey, I'm kind of stumbling this morning. No
Is there
fishing.
Many people so. Fishing down there?
Oh yeah, that boat ramp was packed yesterday
was
morning.
Okay.
I looked over there, even with clouds in the sky, and it sprinkled on us a few times yesterday, but it was nothing like it was the day before Friday.
Yeah.
Man, we got smoked. But, no, it's all good. Bait camps are holding bait. I've seen croaker flags, shrimp flags. If you're a live bait fisherman, you probably want to get here before 9 or 10 o'clock because they'll be sold out by then, I can promise that, especially on the weekends. But happy Labor Day to everybody this weekend. Y'all have a safe one. And like I said, if you're coming down to the beach, put your patient pants on and just kind of take your time. And when you come over that bridge, when they say 40 miles an hour, go ahead and do it because they mean it. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with our police department down here yet. I still haven't heard a word. I did see a couple of their trucks out on the street yesterday, which was nice. So, I mean, we had marshals, we had constables, sheriffs, we had DPS, and we had Surfside Police. So 4 or 5 different entities of police officers down here trying to keep the people, you know, walking a straight line. So keep the peace down here, Captain.
That's
Mickey.
It. Peacekeepers.
Any good
All right, buddy. All right, Hammer, we'll throw them out some info. Somebody wants to come down and fish the Tri-Bay area with you.
You bet, and we'll catch plenty of hardheads, too. Y'all come on and get you some. 713-208-0683. Happy Fun Sunday, and happy Labor Day to everybody. Have a great one, buddy.
All right, Glenn. Later.
Yep.
All right, see
yes,
you.
Sir.
Well, folks, you can join us on September 7th from 2 to 9 p.m. for the Heat Wave Slam Shrimp Bowl fundraiser at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas, for just $20. You can enjoy all-you-can-eat shrimp, live music, a chance to win big in our raffle. Limited tickets are available, so please purchase yours online at heatwaveslam.com. And don't forget about the Heatwave Slam Fishing Tournament. That's a guaranteed $5,000 payout to the top 5 teams. Entry is just $300 per team. And with the weigh-in, That'll be from 2 to 4 p.m. And all the proceeds, they'll support the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. So get your tickets or register for the tournament today. Just go to HeatWaveSlam.com. That's HeatWaveSlam.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Well, I caught my wife with another man, and it cost me 99 on a prison farm in Georgia.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, looking at radar. Looks like pretty much almost the entire Galveston Bay complex is covered with some kind of rain. It's a little heavier out to the east towards Smith Point, Anahuac, north end of Trinity, a little bit coming right up the ship channel. And everything's kind of moving the way that low's circulating. It's kind of wrapping around that band is and moving northwest straight up through the bay. A few little showers right there at Galveston and the jetties, and some a little bit offshore by the pass, but there's rain. The Gulf's full of rain, and they're going to be training in from offshore all day. Biggest concentration of rain is off the Louisiana coast, so they'll be getting it all day again over there. So a little rainy. So, all right. Well, let's go down to Freeport and check in with old Captain Jeff Naylor this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Jeff. What's up?
What's up, Captain McGee? How you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better. It's all right, other than the rain, but that's, other than that, hey, it's all good.
It's all good in the hood. That's right.
Astros are winning and everything.
I'm telling you. Unbelievable. We got real lucky. We went to the game on Friday, and I tell you what, you might as well have hit a walk-off home run in the 12th, because that's about how that stadium reacted.
Well, double off the wall at scores run, that's just as good.
Oh, man, and just to see Altuve, he was not hitting very well. He didn't have much going, and for him to do that was just amazing.
Yeah.
A blessing. But we had Casey on, unfortunately. I'm not sure if we got him.
Well, I think now. Jace is trying to do his magic. You there, Casey?
Guys, can you hear me?
Look at here. Look at that. Just leave it up to an SR610 producer. They can make miracles happen.
I'm back from the dead.
I even showed both of y'all on my call screen, too. How about that? We're good.
Wow. We're good. Wow. We're good. Yeah, man, well, we were just talking about the weather, and I think Casey was actually going to go this morning and kind of decided not to, and I think we all made a good call. I chickened out, too. It's so hard to call, that the wind was showing real light, but man, you just can't look, away from those storms offshore. They're pretty intense.
Yeah, there's just so many of them, they're just.
When you get older, like we are, we look for any excuse to not go take a beating out there and get wet and get rained on all day. So,
nobody wants a whooping.
No, definitely not. We battled those thunderstorms enough, haven't we, Jeff, over the years? So it's nice to not have to go out in them.
Yeah.
The, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you can, we'll just run from them all day or go away from them. Most of the time that doesn't work. You can't run from them. It doesn't ever pan out too well.
You end up running further out. Life is crazy.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, What's the biggest thing you boys have been in over the years?
Go ahead, Jeff. Tell them what yours is, and I'll go with mine.
Storm wise? Oh, man.
First Larry ain't got a chance, Casey.
Yeah.
You go first, Jeff.
Storm wise, man, I have to tell you, about 4 or 5 years ago is probably one of the worst ones I've been in a long time. But I was about every 5 years, I get into one that just really gnarly and just makes you, pray and be so glad when you hit land. But, I've been a little bit better at, playing chicken and just saying no. But they'll creep up on you, man. I mean, I tell you what, the worst storms are in the middle of the summer when no rain is in the forecast, and that sucker just pops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Blows up, ginormous. And those are the ones that really are bad. Today, when it says that there's a 90% chance of rain and you go out and, you get into a storm, well, that's kind of your own fault. You did that. It's been pretty crazy.
But I mean, like seas, like rough water, what's the biggest you've been in?
Oh, shoot. Seas-wise, those are easy 10, 12 foot. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nasty.
Easy. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's nasty.
Anyway, the last one I recall, the one, the really bad one I was telling you about 4 or 5 years ago, it was easy. I'm going to have to better say 10 foot. I was in a 30 foot contender, and that that boat could barely get the motors would be in the trough of one and at the peak, and the nose would be close to the peak. And I'd push that boat over that wave, and it was all I could do to turn it just a little bit so I didn't just submarine into the next, trough of the next wave.
Yeah, that's ugly. That's
about 3 hours of that. It was terrible.
That'll make a werewolf out of you when you get back to the dock. You're just totally exhausted, just spent mentally and physically.
Yeah, and the customers aren't really that happy either. Me, I think it was either late August, early September, 1996. I still remember the day. It was a
boy. It must have been a good one if you can remember it that vaguely.
I know what year it was because we had a crew boat. My dad was over in Louisiana. They were test running a crew boat that day that we had just bought, and it was just finished. And they were over there, and I was running a trip over here. And I was about 19 or 20 years old. Probably I hadn't been a captain very long. I just started fishing for hire. And I had a 29-foot center console aluminum boat that had two twin 200 Johnson Ocean Runners. Y'all remember those engines?
Yeah, I remember those.
Twin 200 Johnson Ocean Runners, and we went out. It was almost this exact time of year. It may have been 1st of September or the very end of August, but it was right around this time. And we were going out, and it was absolutely just slick calm in the morning. I mean, there was no, it was a beautiful day. And that boat wasn't near as seaworthy of a boat as these new, these contenders and these yellow fins are. This boat was lower to the water. It had a low bow. It was a little.
Well, did we lose both of you?
No, I'm still here.
There we go. Casey, you went away for a few seconds.
I was just talking about the boat. It was that center console. But anyway, it wasn't as seaworthy of a boat as these new boats are now. It was low to the water. And, the cockpit was low, the water was easy for a wave to come into the boat, especially over the front. You had to be real careful. And we were out there and it was really calm. We were, it was a couple of hours into the day and a storm came in from offshore, inshore, moved from south, to north toward the beach. And we were about 35 miles out and it got windier and windier and windier. And I told the guys, I was like, we gotta start heading back in because I don't know what this thing's going to do. And it's not looking like it's going to calm down. So it went from slick calm to probably about a good solid 8 foot. But I mean, they were as close together 8 footers as you could ever imagine.
Oh my God.
We've about filled the cockpit up with water a couple times, about rolled the boat over a couple times. I was able to make it in, you know, inside of about 20 miles, it started getting calmer, but it took me a couple hours to go just, you know, 12, 15 miles. And, yeah, it was really, really, really scary. And so they had the double Tinico rig back then. It was 23 miles out of Freeport. They had clocked 75 mile an hour winds with that squall that day. It was really, really bad. And I had a trip the next day. I canceled it. I couldn't do that again. It ended up calming down the next day and being okay, but I didn't go. I didn't want to even think about dealing with that again. We almost bought it a couple times that day, so I had to have a day of rest.
See, that's what's so scary, man. When you fill that cockpit up with water, you stuff that bow and all that water's in the boat, and man, you get a bunch of water going to one side. People don't realize how easy it is to roll a boat. I mean, it'll roll over like a canoe, man.
And that's what happened. And you know, I was a young guy, and I hadn't ever. I was learning on the job, on the job training, learning that day. I learned how to run a boat and that stuff, and I got better at it as that. A couple of times when I finally got the water out of the boat, I figured out how to not let myself get thrown into the wave in front of me, and I got better at it as that actual day went on with people on the boat. You know, I'd never ran in anything like that. I mean, in a boat like that, it was a challenge, but I learned a lot for sure, really quick.
And it's really
almost the hard way.
When you have a following sea like that.
Yes, that's right.
Real
it's definitely tricky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I recall that 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember being in one, too. I'm going to say that. There was another one I went into in the early 2000s that was, I don't recall it being that bad. I was in a Bertram at that time, so I didn't think it was as bad. But, you know, the one thing I remember was it was slick calm like that. I was about 60 miles offshore, and I saw a little rain cloud kind of forming, and that wind, like you just alluded to, started kind of picking up. I started feeling the breeze. I think, oh man, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And I saw that it would start out just being a little bitty old cloud. I thought, man, isn't that cute? We'll go around it, you know. And I started headed back in and going way south, trying to get around it, and it just blew up and blew up. It, you know, finally I said, well, beyond that, you know, it's just going to punch through it now. There's no getting around it. And I remember sitting on top of some of those waves and looking back and seeing bay boats behind me, you know, just little bitty 20 footers, you know, just
man,
getting up on the top of those waves. And I'm thinking, God, I'm so glad I'm not in that boat. But you know, man, it's some reality check. You gotta, you know, that old Mother Ocean, man, she'll get you if you're not careful.
Yeah.
And more the reason why, you know, every single day, I check those bilges, you know, check all your life vests. And you know, when you need it, you want it there, and it needs to be working, you know.
Need to make sure your scuppers are cleaned out and don't have snapper scales on them,
yeah,
so the water will drain out.
Oh, boy.
You're
draining. Goose it more. We'll run it over the transom.
Yeah. Well, it's today, the first day of Amberjack. So those who do get bold and want to get out there, it is ultimately Amberjack season. And I guess for the recreational, Casey and I were just talking about, so the snapper went through next Friday, looks like. So the 6th, mm-hmm. You double down this week, basically. You can catch both. If
there.
you're not a charter boat captain, you can catch, if you're not chartering, you can catch both of them. If you're just a recreational guy, you can catch both of them this week, which is a rarity anymore for that to happen.
Well, I'm sure some are foaming at the bit wanting to get out there and do it, but man, it's not worth it. You got to fight those kind of elements.
Boy, you're not kidding. I mean, in that this storm that's out there right now, I just want to remind everybody, this thing is building as it's turning. You know, it's not something that's just going to pass by. You're
right.
Going to have, you know, if God forbid you get around one of these big ones, it's going to come right back around. It's going to build, and you're going to have to go through it again. You know, it's going to be relentless today. It ain't going to be easy, you know, as far as what I'm seeing on the radar right now. It doesn't look good. The unpredictability of these systems is what really, you know, scares you. They can blow up so dang fast out there, and one day they can go from nothing to a tropical storm or whatever. They've been watching this little thing spinning out there. They put it to 20% yesterday of developing into something. And
are you talking about other stuff in the Atlantic moving this way?
I'm talking about the one sitting off of our coast right now. They had you know, the National Hurricane Center was watching it yesterday.
They were giving it a 20% probability.
And it's sitting right off of our coast. Yeah.
Yesterday morning, it looked like, you know, the way the wind currents were and the circulation, the little dot area on fish weather showed it right on top of San Luis Pass.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I was at home yesterday. I was barbecuing in the yard yesterday. We had a north wind, northwest, and then north wind yesterday all day. It was actually pretty pleasant outside. It felt good.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But it wasn't normal.
It wasn't raining, you bet.
Yeah, it was nice. Oh, one of those crazy days. Yeah. And the tide was pretty high yesterday in Freeport. Yesterday morning in Freeport, the tide was pretty high, too. It was kind of rare. Kind of looked funny. So,
but, yeah, I mean, you know, to me, it was not worth it today, and I highly suggest that somebody take a second look if you're going to go out there. But if you do, I mean, you know, we'll send all the prayers your way. But you know, she's pretty unforgiving today. I'll give you that much. I mean, she's probably not going to be a happy camper today. You're gonna earn it today. But
hope you like to eat. Yeah.
Hope you like what?
Oh, man.
I think tomorrow's supposed to be even worse than today from what I saw.
So Casey was telling me earlier that the dove season down south might be a little tricky. You know, they've been getting a lot of rain down south due to this little storm. And
we're supposed to get more all week. We've had, at my place, we've had in Carrizo Springs, we've had a couple of inches the day before yesterday, and it's supposed to rain the next 3 or 4 days, like 80%, I think, tomorrow over there, which means it probably won't rain at all. When we get 80% chance of rain down there, we don't get rain, but supposed to be rain, and, you know, scatters the doves out. I'm going down there for about a week to do some work and get ready for dove season the next week, but sometimes the rain affects it, and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends. It's not always necessarily a bad thing, but It can scatter. If you've got birds, it can scatter them, so we'll see what happens. We did have birds before this rain, so hopefully they're still there.
Yeah, depending on where you're at, you know, that special white wing, you know, in the south zone this afternoon. What is that, after 12 o'clock you can hunt them?
Yep, afternoon, yeah.
Yeah.
How's the quail looking down there, Casey?
Oh.
Very good from what I've seen. I'm sure Mickey's heard it too. So
yeah, if you've had the rain, you've got the birds. Blaine's he's been down there mowing all weekend, you know, just getting ready for the big dove opener, you know, on the 14th, you know, when all of it's open, and they're mowing pastures and cinderas, and all the grass is waist deep, and it's just it's thriving. Quail are just going crazy. When you mow a lane, they all come out of the brush and the thick grass, and they're loving it.
Yeah, it's looking forward to that for sure.
Does the rain affect quail quite like it does the dove, Casey?
Oh, they thrive off of it because all the insects it creates, you know, grasshoppers and bugs and everything. That's, you know, that's their basic diet.
That's exactly right. And I remember that.
Well, he kind of broke off again, Jeff. Let me do this commercial break right quick. We'll do a break, and I'll come right back at you guys. Y'all hang with me.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. Short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. And check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing. It's available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, hamburger patties, hot dogs. They're available for all your summer cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, it's open all year long. So if you're still shooting exotics or wild pigs, any kind of wild game, call and ask for Brandon. He'll let you know how they can take care of it for you, and they do such a great job. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
We're going 90 miles an hour down a dead end road. What's a hurry, son? Where you gonna go? We're gonna howl at the moon, shoot out the light. It's a small town Saturday night. It's a small town Saturday night.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:40 here in the Bayou City. All right, guys, we are back.
Back in action.
With
back
the boys in from action. Freeport.
We're all here, I think, still. So we're good.
288 North.
Hey, what? I've been meaning to ask you too, Mickey. So they broke the state record tarpon. Was that a correct statement? I saw that on a post somewhere.
This year?
Yeah, this year. I saw that post about 2 weeks ago. As a matter of fact, I want to say it was in. Oh man, I don't remember.
I saw an old post. You know, sometime, you know, some while back about, you know, the one that was caught. By James's buddy, you know, a few years ago, but I hadn't seen anything that's happened here lately.
Okay. Maybe I just missed the date.
I saw something too, Jeff. I think I know what you're talking about.
I missed it if it happened. I hadn't heard anything about it, but it's possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes these pictures recirculate, and then they happened a long time ago, and then somebody puts them on.
Right. They'll post them up, and if you don't read it correctly, you'll go, wow, there's a new one. But.
I mean, it was saying that state record being like 200 pounds. I felt that. I always thought that Galveston, that, you know, and I probably should have researched before I came on the radio and started talking about it. But anyways, I thought it was it had to be close to 250, and that the picture was showing 200.
The record was 218 or something like that.
Yeah.
221, somewhere in that range.
I
know guys that have had some on, they guesstimated at 250, but they never got them in. I mean, there's some giant tarpon run along this Gulf Coast. I mean, it's just a matter of right bite, right place, right time, everything going your way, you know. That's like catching state record anything.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff. You know, Kate, I've actually seen tarpon. It's usually in this time of the year. I've seen them come up in the. I've seen a couple of by my house rolling before this time of year.
Yeah,
way up in the old Brazos.
And
even in the old Brazos, sometimes I've seen them. Yeah, another that we've always caught them. You know, over in the, you know, the new Brazos, I guess you call it. We've caught small ones. You know, the little 40-pounders, and I really never seen them get any bigger than that. You know, it's little. And they were cool. You know, they're always a lot of fun, but I've never really seen them any bigger than that. I've heard of them catching them bigger in the Brazos before. And I've heard, you know, I've known several people to catch some sizable ones over by San Luis Pass area, you know, and that kind of in those guts and stuff. But I never I just thought that the state record was a little bit bigger. From back in the day, from, you know, when, you know, there was some people who really, really fish for them hard around, I don't know. Anyways, I thought they were bigger. But regardless, that's really awesome. Several people I know have been catching some tarpon here. I saw James. He must be busy right now. Hopefully the bite's still going for those guys. I know they were catching them off the Galveston jetties. Sharky's guys were a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
So, you know, we were talking about it, Mickey, you know, Casey and I are talking about going in the fall here and going doing another grouper fishing trip. And about got him talked into using his boat, so that's positive. But, you know, there have been several, and I'm talking out, Geyer Bank, and
all that, and
130 miles plus way out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
130 miles plus, and I think what you told me the last time you've been out there, Casey, it was marble groupers, wasn't it? And
we went I've heard out there. This man, was it's, what
about
have you heard?
Time of year, wasn't it? Oh no, I just heard that it since then has been fished out, but or hardly, you know, fished pretty hard anyways. But
we used to, when we had the Big E back in the, you know, 2005, 2006, 2004 time frame, we were that they're the one that kind of discovered that marble grouper fishery, and there was not a lot known about it. And we had some trips where they were bringing in 30 and 40 and 50 of them on the boat. And that probably didn't do the population of the marbled groupers any good. But I went out there in my boat one time and did the same thing out there. We caught a bunch of them. You know, we think we limited the boat out on grouper in one, you know, just a few hours out there. So it was pretty cool. Really cool looking fish. It looks kind of like a triple tail, but it's a grouper, kind of shaped like a triple tail.
Yeah. And I didn't actually realize why they call them marble groupers, but every few of, you know, some of them got some real white spots. I mean, you know, they look very marblish, you know, but.
And they got some big old lips and kind of a funny looking mouth. But what we did was we had caught some live bait on the way out that day, and we caught some thread herring on some sabiki rigs on some little rigs going out that way. But when there were still some rigs out there, and those thread herring live were deadly on those things. I mean, as soon as it hit the bottom, you'd have one on, you know, every time. It was crazy. So that bait is the key. That live bait is a big, big part of it.
Oh, yeah. If I remember correctly, back to that tarpon, I think it's 229.
That's 229.
229. That's giant, man. That's huge.
That's a huge fish.
It is.
I mean, would James kill every? I mean, if he got one close, would he kill it? You know, I probably should ask him that. But
well, yeah, he would. A heartbeat. I promise you, he would.
For a state record,
you. Yeah. He's sticking a knife in that one, buddy. He's bringing it to the dock. He's not afraid to kill one of them big ones.
I tell you, you know, and I'm still bad. You know, John Thomas and I were talking about this not that long ago. You know, he's a king fisherman, true and true, you know. And I asked him, I said, man, can you tell the difference between a 40-pound kingfish and a 45-pound king, or even a 50? He said, yeah, probably a 40 to a 50, probably. But a 40 to a 45, have not the slightest. Almost a roll of the dice. With the exceptions of if you've been fishing a lot, you know, and you've got 4 or 5 weeks there where you're seeing a bunch of them. Yeah. I mean, man, I couldn't tell you. 150-pound tarpon to a 200-pound tarpon would just be a roll of the dice.
Yeah, when you get something that big, that's I mean, the first thing you have to look at is girth, like we do trout. Back when we used to catch a lot of big trout in this bay, we could always get just guesstimate within a couple of ounces, you know, what it would weigh. But the girth's the big deal on weight. I mean,
Jeff, whenever we caught that 58.
Where Cliff and all of them fish down there, those fish are harder to judge because they're longer, but they're leaner. They don't have the girth like our upper coast fish do, and it's hard for me to gauge them properly just, you know, looking at one and guesstimating it, you know, like you would up here.
Right.
You know, we got Jeff shorter, fatter fish, and they got longer, skinnier fish.
On them kingfish, it's the base of the tail test with your hand.
Right.
Yeah. Put your hand around the base of that tail, and if it takes two hands to put it around the base of that tail, you got your shot.
You got your,
you know, 4.5, 5 foot long, you got one. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those tarpon too, you know, when they get up there and they're sitting on balls of bait, you know, I'm sure they're probably, you know, that probably adds 10, 15 pounds, you know, if they've been eating real good. And, you know, so, man, I tell you, I don't enjoy even kingfish this birthday. I just try not to kill anything just crazy big. If it's a 40-pounder everybody wants to catch, you know, I'll throw one of those in the boat, especially nowadays. You know, I'd be the same way with tarpon, too. I just hate killing big fish, man. You just know those things have been around a long time.
Yeah.
But now, what you alluded to now. If it's close to state record and I knew it was, I felt confident. Yeah, I might kill one fish or, you know, something like that. But,
Gaff, man, I drag him in, baby. You know, yeah. Those guys, that do it, they know, they can look at a fish and they can tell real close, even without, you know, pulling out a tape, taping it and girthing it and all that. They know. Because when they pull a tape out, it's close, or they wouldn't even mess with measuring it.
Yeah, that's right. I got you. Yeah. Well, I think
that's easier said than done. You know,
imagine.
Get one on the side of the boat and try to tape it out and everything. That's while leaving it in the water.
Yeah, and you know,
I promise you, if Plog gets one and he thinks it is, it's coming in the boat. It's going to the dock.
You know, and that's the thing with those kingfish, man. I mean, you know, a big old kingfish, big old girl, you know, female that's, you know, in the 50s, she ain't going to make it very long. If you bring her on, I mean, she's barely going to make it if you just release her right next to the boat. You know, if you bring her inside that boat and try to measure, she gone. You know, you ain't getting her back. You may, I mean, but the chances are getting real slim. But, I've made a few calls here in the last, you know, couple of years on some big kingfish and let them go or vice versa, didn't, and end up being bigger or smaller than I thought they were. But, I mean, you know, it's, I guess if you're catching them that big and you know where they're at, then you probably got a few juveniles to throw in the boat too, so.
Yeah, those.
What's
those
our
big
state record?
Fish.
It's around what, 79 or 80 pounds, something like that, for the Texas record.
Yeah, I was thinking 75. I need to go back and look at that.
Yeah, I think it's close to 80, but not quite 80.
Here it is. I just found it. 79 pounds.
There you go.
Mervin Lepo on a ribbon fish.
In what August, year?
August of 2006.
2006. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there for a couple of years, right around that, in that mid to like 2010, 2011, you know, there was some big fish being caught. I mean, I recall the Star Tournament getting close to 70 one year. It might have exactly been the Star Tournament, might have been another tournament, but man, there was some big fish around for a long time, I felt like, at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you just don't see that one anymore. Those are, you know, the Star Tournament looked like it finally got starting to fill up some of those spots. But, boy, it was questionable. Today, I guess this weekend, is today the last day of the Star Tournament?
Tomorrow, maybe?
Tomorrow, Labor Day.
Oh, that's right,
That'll be the end of the road. What is that snapper leading now, 24-7, something like that? I'm going to look it up real quick.
Hey, back in 2001, we fished in a kingfish tournament, talking about big kingfish, and it was like a two-day tournament out of Galveston. It was at Tiki Island, and we ended up winning that tournament, but we caught a 58-6. We won with a 58-6, but there was probably four fish between 52 and 55 that same tournament. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah, the king leading right now is 55-7.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And that snapper is 24-7.
Yeah, I think they're probably safe. One more day, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, looking pretty good, man.
Yeah,
I know. They're counting their money already.
Yeah, my buddy Ryan with Empire Charters out of Freeport here. He caught a 25. I don't know. It was in the 25s. A snapper. So that was a. That was the only one I've seen this whole summer that would have beat that. Of course, they weren't in the Star Tournament. But, that 24 is a pretty safe bet at the moment, I imagine, especially with the storm and everything. But
only three tagged reds weighed in.
Wow.
How about that? Two red tags and one blue tag. Unbelievable.
That's wild.
Out of all those fish that were released and, you know, all the slots available for prizes. Crazy, man.
Wow, that's wild. You know, great tournament. I hope everybody continues to fish that every single year. So much good that comes out of that. And, you know, man, I've known several people, including Casey, who's caught winning fish and customers and all that. You know, I still, to this very day, this year is probably the first year that I can't, I don't think we caught anything that would have beat first place, but every year we always catch one or two normally that are at least contenders, if not winners. But wait, Casey, you won. Y'all got the big dolphin.
We got dolphin a couple. Yeah, two or three years ago, we got dolphin. We caught it late. We caught it around, 2 weeks before the tournament was over. We caught a 37-pound dolphin. It ended up winning. My buddy caught it on the boat, and he ended up winning his Polaris Ranger.
There's only two waiting on the whole board this year, so it's a little weak on dolphin too.
Yeah, for sure.
This year's been
That wouldn't even get you close back 10, 15 years ago. 37 wouldn't even get you probably in the top three or four.
I know.
It'd be a take of 50 to win it.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. I got to roll out. If somebody wants to call y'all about getting down and fishing some blue water, if the weather will ever break, how they get a hold of you?
Call me anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com. Man, those shrimp boats, I keep waiting every day to see if they're turned on, and they just haven't yet. So, it'll be there, I'm sure, here real soon. So give us a holler.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's late.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Well, always a pleasure talking to y'all. Y'all have a great Labor Day weekend and holiday, and be safe, and watch all them cops down that way, the way Hammer was talking this morning. Don't drive over 40.
All right, Captain Mickey, thanks for having us.
Hey, thank y'all. I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good
thanks,
one.
Vic.
See you, man.
Yes, sir. All right, bye.
Later. All right, we're going to take our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.